Rav Yosef Wagner is a chashuv member of the Yeshivas Kail. He's a baki b'halacha. He's a shol. What would you call it? A shol meshiv in the mechina. Interacts a lot with the boys. He's one of the stars, the up next generation of the yeshiva, and he will be giving a dvar halacha.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to be discussing some of the halachas of nedarim. So it says in the Chumash, "Ish ki yidar neder laHashem." A person takes a neder, or shvua, lesser and lafshel lo yachal devaray. If a person takes a neder or a shvua, so he has to, his shvua is binding. His neder is binding. If he does not keep it, he's over a lav called lo yachal devaray. If he profanes his words, he's just transgressed an isser. Because once one takes a neder that's binding, it's a full-fledged prohibition. Now, in order for a neder to be binding, it has to be verbalized. It has to be done in the language of a neder. There's many prerequisites which Maseches Nedarim talks about. Most people don't do that, so we're not going to be discussing the full-fledged neder deraisa, but what is more prevalent is a Gemara in Daf Tes Vav in Maseches Nedarim. The Gemara says, "Heichi dami bal yachal derabanan." Is there a case of bal yachal derabanan? Okay, bal yachal deraisa, as we said, is when one violates their full-fledged neder. But the Gemara says there's something called bal yachal derabanan. What's bal yachal derabanan? Bal yachal derabanan is when someone takes a neder makes a neder derabanan. That's a regular derabanan. What is that? What's bal yachal derabanan? So the Gemara says, "Dvar mutarim v'acherim noying bo iser." Something that's inherently mutter, something someone does, it's not the Torah didn't answer it, and that person decides to be stringent on something. In such a case, that is bal yachal derabanan. So nothing has to be verbalized, Rashi says, but the mere act, the mere hanhaga of such an activity, that's a bal yachal derabanan. For example, someone's concerned about their matzah, that there might be flour in it. They're not going to dip their matzah in water as a concern. Inherently, it's mutter. We could assume the matzah is kosher. There's a concern. Such a person does that, and if he does that, that would be bal yachal, and then to not to keep it, that'd be bal yachal derabanan. Okay, so bal yachal deraisa, that's when you take a neder and you violate it. Bal yachal derabanan doesn't even have to be verbalized, the Rishonim say. If someone, based on their own hanhaga, their own activity, just does something because they're concerned of a potential isser, that's a bal yachal derabanan. Now, why is that? Why is that a bal yachal derabanan? The answer the Rishonim say is because it looks like a neder, right? It looks like a neder. You're restricting yourself from something. You're prohibiting yourself from something. That looks like a neder. A neder prohibits something from someone when they take a neder. This activity looks like that. Since this activity looks like an issa deraisa, Chazal came and said that type of activity would be binding unless one matter their neder like a full-fledged neder deraisa. That is what the Rishonim say. Therefore, if someone decides to do a certain restrict himself from a certain activity because of the potential prohibition, even without verbalizing it, that would be binding like an issur derabanan, and that's what the Gemara says is bal yachel derabanan. Okay, that's the chiddush of the Gemara. Now, the Rishonim give many limitations to this. For example, let's say someone thought they had to. Someone thought that they saw their friend restricting themselves, and they thought that was the halacha. So they themselves restricted themselves. They restricted themselves also. So the Rush says that's not a bal yachal derabanan, because if you think you had to and really you didn't, there was no full-fledged kabbalah. You never meant to do it. You just thought that was the halacha. That's what's called a tayas. If someone mistakenly does a bal yachal derabanan, or he continues to do an activity which he thinks is the halacha, that would not be binding like a bal yachal derabanan. The only way someone can violate, or the only way it's binding, is if someone thinks that they believe that there's a halacha concern and they prohibit them themselves, again, not verbally, but the action itself, that would be bal yachal derabanan. So again, if someone mistakenly decides to prohibit themselves on a stringency, or where they think there's a potential isser, that would not be bal yachal derabanan. The only time it would be a bal yachal derabanan was when someone knowingly accepts upon themselves to do it, not verbally, but the act itself, the stringency, would make a full-fledged Isser Durabanan. Now, another limitation, the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Reisha Dalid, Misha Ragla Sanis Tainis Lefnei Rosh Hashanah. Let's say someone decides he wants to fast for tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Or, again, and this is the Shulchan Aruch speaking, someone decides they don't want to eat meat from Rosh Chodesh Av till Tisha B'Av. Now, you would think, well, we all know that's binding. Well, this is the Shulchan Aruch speaking. The Shulchan Aruch says that the primary halacha is that the minhag was only accepted not to eat meat during the week that Tisha B'Av falls. That's the minhag, the Shulchan Aruch says. Really, there's only an Isser Derabanan not to eat meat at the Siddur of Sekkos on Erev Tisha B'Av. The Svardim accepted upon themselves as a minhag not to eat meat the whole week that Tisha B'Av falls. The Ashkenazim, we go ready from Rosh Chodesh Av. That's the minhag of Ashkenazim. So let's say someone from who's Sephardi decides they want to be stringent. They're ruggle not to eat meat. They've accustomed themselves not to eat meat from Rosh Chodesh Av. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Misha ruggish shalach abas for lishas yain Rosh Chodesh Av. If a person decides, a person has accustomed himself to refrain from meat during that time. So says the Shulchan Aruch, if he decides to change his mind because he's not healthy, right? He decides that he wants to eat meat now because he's not feeling well. He needs the strength. He needs the protein. So says the Shulchan Aruch, in such a case, sarch gimel shiatir loy. He would have to annul his neder. He would have to go in front of the basin of three people and have them matter the neder for him like we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Mishe Ragel. If someone's accustomed to do that, then he would need Hatara for his neder if he was Sephardi and he wanted to be stringent. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So what do you see from Shulchan Aruch? That's basically our halacha. If a person's accustomed to do something, then it would be binding like a neder. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, specifically Mishe Ragel. Someone's accustomed to do it. If someone did it one time, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that would not be binding like a bayachal derabbanan, because that doesn't look like a neder. A neder is something that's forever. So therefore, it's specifically the language of the Shulchan Aruch is Misha Ragel. Someone's accustomed to do such a prohibition or restrain themselves, then that would be binding like a neder derabbanan. So the Aruch HaShulchan says either one time with the intent to do it forever, that's bayachal derabbanan. Why? Because then you plan to do it forever. That looks like a real neder. Or, says the Aruch HaShulchan, what's also considered to be a ragel? Someone who does it three times. Three times we know in Allah is a chazaka, you did something three times, that would be binding like a neder derabbanan. So that is what the Shulchan Aruch says. So we have two exceptions to this rule by Yachal derabbanan. Number one is the Rush. The Rush says that it's only when you knew you had to keep it, you knew it was a... You knew the purpose for the reason why you restrained yourself, why you refrained from a certain thing, because you knew there was a potential iser, but if you thought you had to keep it, that's a mistake. That's the Rush. And then the Shulchan Aruch says that it's only a bayachal derabanan, it only looks like a neder if you're ragel, if you generally do it. What's general? I do it three times, or I did it once with the intent to do it forever. Then that's binding like a neder. I just do it one time without any specific intent, that would not be a bayachal derabanan. Okay, so that's what we have so far. Now the Shach asks a question. The Shach says, it says in Simen Tovkov Samaches, it says over there that if someone is deciding to fast during the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, stringency, a good thing to do because of tshuva, but not binding, someone decided to do that, so that would be binding like a bayachal derabanan. But the Shach says, let's say someone has a bris milah for their son or a simcha, so the question is, could they eat at the bris milah? Okay, they themselves have always been, they've always been fasting. So you would say, it's a bayachal derabanan, they can't eat. But the Shulchan Aruch says, yes, they can eat meat, even though they've always been fasting these fasts. So the question is, why? So the Shulchan Aruch, the Shach says, the reason why you can fast is because you knew brisim come up, right? You knew brisim come up. So that was actually part of your acceptance of the chumrah. People have brisim in life, and they know that had a bris come up, I would have accepted it. Right? I wouldn't have accepted it. That's part of the Kabbalah, part of the acceptance of this bayachal derabanan is not to let my fast override my mitzvah to partake in a bris milah, a suda. And therefore, says the Shach, that since you knew that these things happen, and you never would have accepted had you known, therefore you never accepted the fast in such a case. And therefore, when a bris milah comes up, a person indeed could eat at that suda, even though they generally fast at this time. Or let's say a Sephardi fellow wants to be stringent and not eat meat during the from Rosh Chodesh. So we said that's binding like a neder. But if a bris milah would come up, he could eat. Why? Because people know that these things can come up. And although he wanted to be, he was a dvar mutarim v'achem v'isser, he accepted, he knew he wanted to not eat meat anymore. Still, he knows brisim come up, as opposed to another case, and this is really what the Shach understands as Shulchan Aruch, as opposed to a regular fellow who wants to change his mind and eat meat during the Rosh Chodesh, a Sephardi fellow who wants to eat meat during Rosh Chodesh, he would have to only do Atar Sadarim and annul his neder if he wants to officially stop his neder, meaning the reason why he wants to discontinue his neder or his bal yachad or banan iser is because he's not healthy, right? And he needs the meat. Such a fella, people don't think they're going to get sick and they're going to need the meat. That was never part of their acceptance. And therefore, the Shach says the case where a person would need hatar sadarim, he would have to go to a bezdin to annul his neder, even though it's not a full-fledged neder, but it's a neder derabanan because it looks like a neder. That type of case, a person only needs to go to a bezdin in the type of case where he didn't really have it in mind. He didn't assume that he would ever get sick. Therefore, his acceptance really was forever. That's like a neder. But for a simcha, to eat meat at a simcha, where he knows brisim come up, that's part of life, that you know brisim come up, that was part of my acceptance. I never accepted that. In such a case, I would not need to go to a bezdin to annul my neder. It doesn't look like a neder because I had that in mind initially. I never intended to accept my prohibition in such a case. That's what the Shach says. Therefore, if someone, according to the Shach, if you'd ask the Shach, you decided to have a certain stringency, right? You accept upon a certain stringency. Now again, you didn't verbalize it. You yourself accustomed yourself to do that. So according to the Shach, if it's something that you knew was going to happen, right? Like a bris milah, people, that happens. So that wasn't part of your acceptance. You would not need to annul your stringency, your bal yachad derabanan. But if it's something where you did not ever think would happen, like people don't think they're going to need the meat because they're not healthy, so in such a case, as the Shach, a person would have to go to Bezdin and treat it like a full-fledged neder because that was their acceptance. That is the answer of the Shach. The Noidi Behuda, the Dagmar Vava, argues on the Shach and says, no, that's not the understanding of the Shulchan Aruch. So again, the Shulchan Aruch says that if someone generally has a certain stringency, he would have to annul his neder. But in the case, the Shach's question was that if a person has a bris milah during the days where he's supposed to fast or the days where he didn't want to eat meat, that in such a case he couldn't meet, what happened to his iser, his bal yachal darabanan? So the Dagmar Vava says that there's a difference between a temporary bittul of the neder and a bittul forever. Meaning, in the case of the fella who needs to eat meat because he's not healthy and he needs the meat for the protein, so there he will not be keeping his neder forever, right? There he needs to annul his neder. But in the case where a person is just to be going to a suda, it's of a one-time thing to eat meat at a bris milah or a suda, there the Dagmar Vava says a person would not need to go to a Rav or a Bezdin to annul his neder. What's the idea? Because there's a difference with regards to Bal Yachal Derabanan. This Issur Derabanan, that we have to keep our things that we were stringent about because they look like a neder, they only really look like a neder if I'm going to keep them, it only looks like a violation of the neder if I'm going to no longer keep them. But if it's a temporary bittul, that's not, the Chazal weren't at machmer. So therefore, in the case of the eating at the bris milah, right, eating at the suda, that is a temporary bittul, Chazal, we're not so machmer. It's the whole thing's issa derabanan. But if I'm not going to keep it anymore, that looks like la yachal devaray. That looks like forever you're profaning your words. You're not keeping your neder. So therefore, we were more machmer when you're not going to keep it anymore. Those are the two ways the poskim answer of this contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. So again, the Shach says something you had in mind when you accepted your stringency would not be binding. Right, and the Dagmar Vava says even if you didn't have in mind, you'd only have to go to a Bezdin to matter it if you no longer want to keep it. But if it's a temporary bittul, it's a one time eating at a suda at a bris mila, that would not be binding. Those are the two answers in the poskim. The Mishneh Berurah is machmer, and the Mishneh Berurah is machmer and says we don't know what the answer is, we don't know what the right pshat is, and therefore if someone decides to be stringent on something, they would really need both answers. It would have to be something you had in mind and something that is temporary. The Aruch HaShulchan is a little more lenient. He says, we accept both terutzim, and therefore, something which is temporary or something you had in mind, you knew that was going to happen, that would suffice to be lenient and not have to go to a Rav or a Beis Din to matir your neder. So that's a general rule, what we call chumras. Someone decides to be strict about something, so there is room, according to the Shach, to be lenient if you knew it was going to happen, because you never really accepted it in those circumstances, even though you didn't have an active das, but deep down you knew that was going to happen. And the Dagmar Vava is saying that one time bittul, that's not part of this stringency of Bal Yachel Derabanan. So this idea, which we call chumras, really works on the track of Nedarim. It's a Bal Yachel Derabanan. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that many gedolim from his time period would rely on, for at least for his stringencies, on this mesiras moda. After we on Rosh Hashanah, we nullify our nedarim. So then we say a moda. We say all our nedarim should not be binding. So there is a machlekes to what degree this works and to when this works. But certainly to the Bal Yachal Darabanan, many rabbanim were mekel, many poskim were mekel to rely on this that is not binding at all. So there are different opinions about that. So this whole sugya, though, is all talking about one's personal stringencies. One decides to be stringent about something, or something is mutter, something is mutter, I'm machmer. So to what degree is this binding, right? To what is it? How usher is what is my future activity? To what degree is it usher? I mean, when would I need to go to Bezin to matter it? When not? That's what we've been discussing till now. But let's say, and this is also very prevalent, and it relates to the fathers and sons. Let's say a father's machmer about something. A father's machmer not to dip his matzah in water. Or he is machmer, he's a Sephardi, he doesn't eat meat during the 9 days. And then the son discovers, this is a minig. Just because my father decided to be stringent, to what degree am I bound to my father's stringencies? He could be machmer for himself, and that would be a bal yachal derabanan. But what does that have to do with me? Why am I bound to my father's stringencies? That's also a question that the Gemara discusses. So the Gemara says in Psachim, there were some boys who inherited their father's business, and they're called Bnei Baishan, right? The sons of Baishan. So Bnei Baishan, their father's business, the way the father ran the business, is that he, Baruch Hashem, did well enough that he didn't have to work on Erev Shabbos, right? He didn't have to go to the marketplace on Erev Shabbos, and he could spend his whole Erev Shabbos getting ready for Shabbos. Some people would rather go to the marketplace, but this fella spent his whole time, his whole Erev Shabbos, getting ready for Shabbos, didn't go to the marketplace. So the Gemara says, "Bnei Baishan nargul la'azlin mitzor l'sidan b'mali Shabbos." So there's the boys, Bnei Baishan, didn't go to the marketplace on Erev Shabbos because that was their father's minik. They went to the Rav. Aslik banayu kameder Rav Yechon. They went in front of Rav Yechon and they said, "Avun efshir lehu. Our father, Baruch Hashem, he was a good enough businessman. He could he made enough profit during the week. He didn't have to go on a Friday. But anan lo efshir lan. Us, it's not enough to be competitive. We have to go on Friday. We can't make enough parnasa unless we go on Friday." So the question is, are they allowed to go on Friday to the business place? Just because their father did it, what does that have to do with us? It was possible for him to make it. We need to go on Friday to run our business successfully. So Amr Lahu, so Rav Yochanan said to the boys, "Kark kvar kiblua avosechem aleihem. Your father has accepted this upon you. You can't deviate from the ways of your father. This Gemara would imply that if my father's machmer on something, I would have to keep his stringencies. If he, whatever stringency, pick your chumra, if your father accepts it, that would be binding on the children as well. That's what the Gemara here in Psachim is implicit. So fathers, be nice to think about your children also. The Gemara in Chulin seems to be a contradiction to this Gemara. Okay, the Gemara in Chulin says, the Gemara in Chulin tells a story about Mar Ukva, or a member of Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva says, I, with regards to my father, is Chaimitz Ben Yayin. I'm vinegar, the son of wine. What does that mean? My father, he's on a very higher spiritual level. When he would eat fleishiks, he wouldn't eat milchiks the whole day. That's right, the whole day. He had fleishiks, he wouldn't have milchiks the next day. And me, Mar Ukva, I wait bein suda l'suda. I wait from meal to meal. And this is the source. The Rambam says, what's meal to meal? It's about 6 hours. And that this Gemara is the source why Shulchan Aruch says we wait 6 hours. Some people have different menhagim, 3 hours. But Shulchan Aruch says 6 hours based on the Rambam. But you see from this Gemara that what did Mar Ukva say? Mar Ukva says, my father, he's a big tzaddik. He waits a whole day. And I only wait between suda to suda, meal to meal, which would imply that he didn't accept his father's menhagim. His father was stringent, he was a tzaddik, he waited the whole day. I don't keep my father's menhagim. Well, did he learn Maseches Psachim? It says in Maseches Psachim that the Bnei Baishan, right, the fellas, that they ran their father's business when his father passed on, and his father, the father accepted upon them that they don't work on Erev Shabbos. They have to get ready for Shabbos. Well, we have a Gemara saying, Chametz Ben Yayin, Mar Ukva did not accept his father's stringency. Why is it that Mar Ukva did not wait a whole day from Fleishiks to Milchiks? The same way Bnei Baishan accepted upon a Chumrah, a stringency upon his children, and that seems binding, right? Rav Yochanan would not let them go and work on Erev Shabbos, so too. The same thing should be for Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva should say, I'm Yayin Ben Yayin, right? The same way my father doesn't waits a whole day, I should wait a whole day as well. So what is the understanding of this Gemara? The two Gemaras that seem to be contradictory to one another. So the Pri Chadash says that Bnei Baishan, the boys of Baishan, were not just sons, they weren't just regular sons. Baishan was actually a city, okay? It was a city. Baishan is Beis Shan, right? It's a city. We know Navi, we try and teach that here also. Bnei Baishan is a city that they came from, and there was actually a minig of the whole city, right? It wasn't just a minig of individuals; it was a kabbalas rabbim. The rabbim themselves accepted that in this city they don't work on Erev Shabbos, and therefore that is a different status, says the Rishonim, than a kabbalas yachid. If a father decides to be stringent upon himself, he has that right, but it's not binding on his children. But if it's a collective chumrah that the city themselves want to be stringent about, that is binding. The most common example of that is Ashkenazim. Don't eat kidneys. We don't eat rice on Pesach. Now that is a tremendous stringency. The Mishnah says you're allowed to eat rice on Pesach. So, right? It says you can even mix it into the matzah. So we're machmer. Why are we machmer? Various reasons the Rishonim give, but that is binding. Based on the fact, based on the Gemara of Bnei Baishan. Bnei Baishan, in their city, they did not do malacha on Erev Shabbos. Right? That was a city, that was a Kabbalah Rabbim, a minig of a whole city. That is binding. And therefore, basically, all the Ashkenazim accept upon themselves not to eat kinyas. Chassidim, Litvish, Yekish, all of the Ashkenazim accepted upon themselves as minag. That's a Kabbalah Rabbim. That works like a collective neder, a neder derabbanan. It wasn't verbalized, doesn't have to be verbalized. But the same way an individual would be bound to his neder because of a bal yachal derabbanan, even though it's not verbalized. So too, there's something called a Kabbalah Rabbim that could even be on the next generation. They could accept upon themselves, a city or a community could accept upon themselves a chumrah, which would be binding upon themselves and upon their future generations. That's the chiddush of the Gemara I'll teach us Tayyarsi Mecha, that a community, someone who comes from a community, is bound to that community, and that they have this, they would be bound to the Chumras, the Bal Yachal, the Rabbanon of that community as well. So therefore, does one have to keep one's father's Chumras? Well, it depends what type of Chumra it is. If it's an individual Chumra, like Mar Ukva, no. If the father comes from a certain city or community, then yes. And that's what Ramesha Feinstein says. Whenever evaluating a chumra, a person has to know what type of chumra, what type of stringency, what type of dvar mutarim v'acher nergo iser are we talking about? If it's a b'nei baishin, if it's a communal minag, which the Kabbalist rabbim, the rabbim accepted upon themselves to observe, that is a stronger Kabbalah than an individual's chumra that can't transfer. So therefore, just to summarize, the Gemara said, what's Bayachal Darabanan, Dvarim Dutarim Vachem No Isser? Someone who's machmir about something, that is binding like a Nedu Darabanan. Now, if someone knew he was going to have to break it, or it's a temporary bittul, so there's grounds to be lenient. If someone's father is stringent about something, so it really depends on the type of minig or chumrah, right? If it's a communal, then no. If it's an individual chumrah, that would not transfer unless the child himself started keeping it. But that would be binding, not because of his father, but because of himself, right? Because that would be like a regular bayachal derabanan. Dvar mutar macher no iser. Now, if the son thought it was a primary halacha, and it wasn't, that's what we said from the Rosh. That's a Kabbalah batayis. But if the son knew it was a stringency, right, and he continued doing it after his bar mitzvah, he would be obligated to keep it, not because of his father, but because of his own chumrah, his own bayachal derabanan, because that would be a dvar mutar v'acher nego iser for him. Question?
Yeah. If a chumrah is taken on by multiple generations in that family, does that already have a status of a certain mesorah that's hard to break, and that's the same status of the rabbin?
I don't think so. I think it has, but that if it's probably many generations, it could be communal. You'd have to... If the family keeps it for many generations, it's probably because those types of strong menhagim are generally communal. They come from a community. So yes, I would think that it's harder to break. You need it's more difficult. Yes, for sure. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful day.